This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hey guys, and welcome to the channel. I'm delighted to have another fan chat looking ahead to the Wolves versus Fulham game at the weekend. And we've got Sammy from Fulham. He'll have a skip in his step, a smile on his face, because Fulham have won the last two games, I think, for two games in a row, maybe the first time this season, and looking good. Great to have you joining us back, Sammy.
Oh, hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I mean, Fulham, you beat United away. That was sweet, that last-minute goal. And then, literally, Brighton, you blew them away the weekend. Now, Wolves played Brighton in the FA Cup in midweek. Now, we did have a quick turnaround from the game against Sheffield United. We only had a couple of days to turn it around. We scored on the second minute, and we literally held on for, like, 93 minutes and got through to the quarterfinals of the Cup. And then I'm watching Wolves at, obviously, at Newcastle. And Fulham have battered Brighton 3-0. I mean, I was so impressed with that, because we struggled against them to even get the ball off. I mean, I'm thinking, what's the secret? What did you do?
I mean, there's an element of, there was also points in the game where we weren't brilliant either. I think second half, it was a little bit one-way traffic, and Brighton are magnificent at keeping the ball. We were just super clinical in the first half, took our chances. We've got players in form, and we just mostly kept Brighton at bay, kept them to kind of long shots and didn't really give them too many chances. I think, you know, our striker Rodrigo Muniz is taking all the headlines at the moment, but
he's on fire at the moment, isn't he? He's like, he is. What's missing since Mitrovic left, apparently.
Yeah, he is. 5 goals, 5 games. And to say that no one at Fulham saw this coming is the biggest. It wasn't like, oh, this is a player that actually we all saw the potential that he could do this. I think we all thought that there might be a bit more of a strike in there than we'd seen, but literally up until he scored his first Premier League goal against Burnley at the beginning of February, if you'd have told me he was going to score in, well, 5 and 5, I'd have honestly thought you were a lunatic. I'd have absolutely thought you were a lunatic, but I'm so happy for him. And yeah, he might be the answer to the Mitrovic problem that we never knew we had.
Well, exactly. I mean, to be honest, sometimes it happens like that for strikers. They can go such a long time and then they hit score one and they go on this purple patch run. Raul Jimenez, obviously, you got from Wolves. How are the Fulham fans taken to him? I think he's out injured at the moment, is he?
He is, yeah. He won't be available on Saturday unless he recovers very quickly, but he's not been on the bench. So, and even if he was back, I don't think he'd get in the starting lineup anywhere near ahead of Rodrigo Muniz. He's had a big transformation. I think about 8 or 9 games in, he had huge pressure on him. He was missing big chances. He looked so unconfident. He scored a consolation goal against Villa. We lost 3-1 and he scored one in the 10 minutes from time. It meant nothing. But it just suddenly turned for Raul. And then all of a sudden he was scoring goals again, looking confident, looking sharp.
Score a few, didn't he? And he'd gone such a long time without scoring for Wolves and then Fulham. I guess when you're a striker, you pressure mounts. You strikers are like the guy that you're on about now, they just think that once they've scored and they go on this purple patch,
it's effortless. They don't overthink it. Do you think that's what happened with Raul as well?
100%. I mean, the goal he scored against Arsenal on New Year's Eve as well was, I think, just typical. And he was brilliant that game as well. It was such a unfortunate timing when he got his injury. It really just came at a terrible time, really, for Fulham. But, you know, Rodrigo Muniz has stepped up to the plate. And I think now, if Muniz is our starting striker going forward, Raul can be a brilliant second option off the bench. Yeah. And, you know, you can come on, and if you've dealt with Rodrigo Muniz for 70 minutes and then a confident Raul is coming off for the last 20, no defence is going to relish that, because he'll continue the battering. I was really happy for Raul that he turned it around, because obviously you guys saw the tail end of his lack of confidence.
It was really, really low balls, Raul Jimenez. Obviously he had that awful, awful injury, head injury. And he was never quite the same after that, but he was so much loved. He was a big part of when we went into the Premier League with 2 seventh place finishes, the Europa League, him and Jota and Traore. I'm talking of Traore. He's been out. He transferred to Fulham on a free. He kind of ran down his contract with Wolves, was kind of looking for a move to Barcelona or somewhere like that. And then I think he did go back to Wolves, saying, from what I've heard, that to say, I will sign the contract now, after he left it for ages. But Wolves had kind of moved on, and then Fulham have swooped in for him. But he was out for a long period, and he's just started to start playing for you, hasn't he?
He really has, yeah. I mean, he was a running joke for most of this season, because Marcus Silva would do his press conference every week, and every week it'd be like, who's out? Adama. Who's out? Adama. Who's out? Adama. And Peter Rutzler.
What was the problem?
I actually don't know. Don't think anyone really. Achilles, something like that. I'm actually 100% not 100% sure what the injury was. It was a muscular one. He's got a lot of them.
He really does.
Yeah. He's come back in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and he's just being that option off the bench against for us. And we haven't really used him in any other way other than just 15
minutes. Has he come off the bench? Is that what he's been doing? He's been coming off the bench?
Yeah, I think 3 or 4 games in a row now he's come off the bench. Obviously, he had a chance to equalise against Villa, which he missed. He then set up the winner at Old Trafford, and it was his run that created the goal. And then he scored our third on Saturday to clinch it. And again, he just comes on and terrifies people. He's still got that aura. And I remember when he used to play for Wolves, and whenever he would come on with 15 minutes to go, you'd think, no. And he's still got that energy. If he can stay fit, he's a hell of a weapon. And we always knew, I think, when we signed him, we were like, if you can keep him fit and happy and, you know, confident, he still is one of the scariest players in the Premier League.
He is. He's an incredibly humble guy as well, Adama Traore. He's got super pace. He's the sort of player that gets you off your seat when he starts running. The one thing with Adama, it's always been his end product. The getting your head up to make the pass, finishing goals. He has got that in him, but that was always the thing that kind of, like, he had that one great year with Raul Jimenez where they were linking up really, really well. And he's always been a bit of an enigma to Dom, and he's always had this blinding pace, this strength that he's got. It's just been the end product. Sometimes he runs down dead alleys and stuff like that, or he'll try and he'll lose the ball in the final third, in your third, and then they'll be in. But if you can get him playing right, he's such an exciting player. And again, he was really loved at Wolves, and we were disappointed in a lot of ways that he kind of contract ran down like it did, and obviously left. And it's good to see that he's doing well at Fulham.
Yeah, no, he it's just keeping him fit, I think. Obviously, he's missed a huge chunk of this season, but every time he comes on, something happens. He nearly scored potentially one of the greatest goals of all time against Arsenal away. We would have won 3-2 in the 90th minute, and he had and it's always that end product. He had to lift it over Aaron Ramsdale, and he just didn't get it right, and it hit Ramsdale in the face, and he saved it. And I mean, it would have been an away win, comeback away win at Arsenal if he'd have scored that. Every time he comes off the pitch, he's done something. It's not always ended up in the back of the net, because, as you say, his end product, if he had end product, I mean, he'd literally be playing for Barcelona or one of
well,
the
he went over there and that was his dream. He went over there and they didn't have him and stuff like that, you know. And you are right, that's where he's at. But he's always had that potential and everyone had that belief in him to do it. Question for you, is he still wearing the baby oil?
Oh, I actually am not 100% sure. I mean, it's his trademark. So, I mean, he certainly looks always kind of slightly oiled up. But, yeah, I haven't actually seen
him apply
it. You
know why the baby oil?
I assume because it makes it harder to catch him.
No, basically, players used to try and pull him back and stop him. And he used to dislocate his shoulder a lot, would come out. So they started putting the baby oil on it to make his arm slippy so they couldn't grab him and he wouldn't have his arm come out of socket. So that's the reason for it. It's not just because he's, you know, he's Mr. Universe and all that sort of jazz like they do. There is a reason behind it. So it'd be interesting to see. That's why I thought I'd ask, has he still got the old baby oil coming on?
I haven't noticed, but I will keep an eye out for you and keep you informed.
Fantastic. So on to Wolves. What have you kind of made of Wolves this season? And what were your expectations before the start of the season's changed a bit?
Oh, totally. And we did our pre-season predictions on the podcast, as every podcast does. And I'm almost ashamed to say that I had Wolves in the bottom three.
A lot of people did, mate.
And now I'm looking at it thinking, like, why were you such a sheep? And I generally like to think with my predictions, I backed Luton to stay up this year. Like I thought, you know what, actually,
they're having a great go as well. They are.
I'm not going to predict Luton because I thought Kenilworth Road would be a fortress. Yeah. But I just saw it just looked like absolute chaos. And I thought that Gary O'Neill was
a laughing stock in the summer. We were.
I thought Gary O'Neill was a backward step. I was just so stunned. And actually, he's been brilliant. And I remember watching that first game you had at Old Trafford, and you should have beaten them like 3 or 4-0. And it was just an indication of things. And maybe everyone was like, okay, one off. But it was actually an indication of things to come, that United were going to be terrible and Wolves were going to be brilliant. And, you know, you've had some amazing wins this year that we could only have dreamed. Yeah, to win 4-2 at the Bridge. We've never won at Stamford Bridge. We've never won at Stamford Bridge.
Hold on. Fulham have never won at Stamford Bridge. Are you sure about that?
Not never since like the 70s, but it's been a long time.
I find that interesting because, like, when I go to Chelsea, Chelsea's in Fulham and Fulham's in Chelsea, isn't it?
Fulham's in Fulham and Chelsea's in Fulham. No, there's no team in Chelsea.
Oh, right. Okay. Because, like, yeah, because you are really close. What's the distance between the two stadiums?
It's about a mile. Well, you know that this is the trivia, is that Chelsea only exists because of Fulham.
Go on, tell us about that. It's interesting.
Well, there we go. Stamford Bridge was bought by a businessman called Matthew Harding, bought by a businessman, can't remember who by, and he wanted Fulham to be his tenants. Fulham said no because we had Craven Cottage, so he created his own football club in the pub opposite Stamford Bridge. Fulham was already taken. He called them Chelsea, and they were given promotion to the first division over Fulham. He kind of appealed to the league to let them in and not Fulham. And they've always been had the upper hand ever since.
Oh, my God. So are they like your real local? I mean, they are the ones.
Well, it's a one-sided rivalry, isn't it? Because they don't care about us, but we care about them. So we have a number of rivalries. It's Chelsea is the one that Fulham fans want to win the most. But Brentford have obviously been the thorn in the side of late. And obviously, they're the plucky little brother who I would do to see them get relegated this season.
Really? Tell me why.
Everything about that club. I think they're so... Their fans think they're so special. They think that they... I don't know. They think because they maybe signed a couple of players off Football Manager in League One and... I there's so many things about Brentford I respect. I respect the way that they treat their fans. I respect the fact that they've been so smart and been so frugal in the way they've got up to the Premier League. But, oh man, their fans are just tiresome. I would love it. I would love it. And they have this absolute denial of losing their biggest match in their history against us in the playoff final. They say, oh, it didn't matter. It was better for us, et cetera, et cetera. No, it wasn't, lads. It's the biggest day of your lives and you lost it to a rubbish Fulham team. managed by Scott Parker. So yeah, all things we play them third to last game of the season, and then we play Luton on the final day. If Luton winning means Brentford going down,
you're down for it.
I'm in a Luton shirt. I'm there in an orange Luton shirt in the away end.
Yeah, well, Luton have got like Rob Edwards as their manager, who worked a lot at Wolves as well. And I think, do you know what? I think most football fans would love it if Luton stayed up. Yeah. You know, I mean, they've given everybody a game. They just keep just falling short. Even against Villa at the weekend, they came back from 2-0 down to 2-2, and you know, lost 3-2. There's so many games they've just, but they keep going. I think everyone, if they stay up in 17th place, you'll go, good on you, Luton. That would be, and he'd be, you know, Rob Edwards would be right up there with the manager of the season if he kept them up as well, wouldn't he?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know, I'm really looking forward. We, you know, it's always like playing Fulham and going down the Cottage. Is your new stand now? Because when we went down to play earlier in the season, there was a big gap in the middle. There was like, why is that not fully kitted out?
It's taken longer than Sagrada Familia to finish. I don't know. It's taken so long to fit the inside. And it's not an easy stand to build. It's right on the river. They've done it at significant cost. And I think they want to get it right. But yeah, it's been a bit of a bugbear for Fulham. I mean, there's been lots of, as much as we're very happy on the pitch with Fulham and everything that's happening, I think there's still lots of grumbles in the fan base about our director of football being the Suns owner and seemingly much more interested in wrestling than he is in Fulham. We've had some quite poor transfer windows, and we seem to be getting away with it quite a lot, like underinvesting in this side. We didn't back Marcus Silva in the summer. The absolutely ridiculous ticket prices that exist at Fulham.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a campaign about that as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's a lot of unrest behind the scenes. You know, we're very happy. We love Marcus Silva and we love this Fulham team, and everyone is on the same, you know, page as regard to that. We would never like chant against the players, because I think what we think Marco is one of our greatest managers and coming towards being maybe our greatest ever if he does something like get us back into Europe or won a trophy. But off the pitch, there is a lot of unrest amongst Fulham fans. And yeah, it's been simmering all season. And
it's bubbling under the surface type of thing.
Yeah, it's the nature of the Premier League, isn't it?
Do you think the fact that the results are going well is kind of keeping a lid on that?
100%. If we were doing badly, it would be really toxic. I think it's bubbling under the surface, but it's very hard to organise protests and things like that, get people on board when ultimately the team's winning on the pitch. And I guess from the club's point of view, that's their aim, knowing that, well, look, keep winning at the weekend and it shuts everyone up. And we know that as well as fans. And so you don't want the team to do badly, but you know that if they did, a lot more of these issues would be a lot more at the forefront.
That's always the way it kind of goes with these sort of things. It's like Wolves fan base were split during the summer, divided about Gary O'Neill. And he has, you know, done an amazing job, really, to get us to, I mean, we're 10th at the moment. We're into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We've got a home tie against Coventry to get to the semis. There's an outside shot at Europe. Yeah, we lost to Newcastle at the weekend 3-0, but they were cream crackered after three games in six. That's no excuse at the end of the day, but like, we have got a small squad, and also like, we've had players out. We've started to pick up a few injuries. Is there anyone from the Wolves camp that you've sort of got your eye on, a bit concerned about at the weekend? And what sort of style of play and formation does Marco Silva tend to employ?
Well, obviously, I'm not going to lie. I looked at the match report from St. James's Park, saw that Jose Sarr went off injured, and saw that Pedro Neto picked up a knock. So I'm interested to know. I mean, Pedro Neto is the obvious one, right? That is the danger man. Do you think he'll be fit for Saturday?
Well, I think what happened with, obviously, Mateus Kuhn is out with a hamstring. Wang picked up a hamstring, which they said was a niggle the previous game. He's out for 6 weeks. So that's two of our front three. Pedro Neto's the other one. He'd been out. I think he had a he felt his hamstring was a bit tight. This comes from playing a lot of games. So they took him off as a precaution. Mm. So I'm hoping he will be fit, because if he's not fit for Fulham, we're going to have all of our front three, of which we haven't been able to get them all on the pitch at the same time at all virtually this season, because one injury after the other. Wang went away to the Asia Cup as well when we got both Kuna and Met. I'm hoping he's fit. Jose Sarr, I think, fell into the post with the first goal. And so I think, all being well, the signs are that they will both be fit, I hope.
Yeah.
If we haven't got Pedro fit, I really do worry. Also, Joe Gomez felt his hamstring as well, and he's been really important for us. Brazilian, he's just had a call up to the Brazilian side as well. He's 23. He's a real winner of the ball in the midfield, and we missed his energy as well. So, yeah, I'm a bit concerned about how fit the squad are at the moment. How we like to play is with speed, getting up the pitch. Do you think Fulham? How do they set up, and do you play on the front foot, or do you sit and break? I mean, how do you tend to set up?
We're extremely adaptable. We don't necessarily play only one way, and we can get our foot on the ball and dominate possession if we need to, but we've also developed how to play on the counter. If, you know, a bit like on Saturday against Brighton, they had over 70% possession. We were happy for them to have that. But likewise, some teams come to the Cottage and want to sit back, and Fulham are happy to also get their foot on the ball. So we do tend to adapt our play to counter the opposition in whatever way we need to. So I would expect against Wolves, a counter-attacking side, you will let us have the ball. We will have a little bit more of the ball. We will go there with no fear. I don't think at this point Fulham are in a position where playing for a draw there's any point. We aren't going down.
We're full of confidence.
We aren't going down. We might as well break into the top 10. A win against you does get us into the top 10, albeit maybe briefly, but this would be a huge opportunity for us. We've got a fully fit squad as well. João Pelini is back from suspension. He was the one that had been out for the past couple of weeks.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, we have actually got pretty much, apart from Raul Jimenez, who will still be injured, a full roster of players to go for, unless something happens between now and Saturday. So we are looking confident, and you know, he has a lot of players to choose from. The bench is looking good again, and that was our big problem in January. We played a lot of cup fixtures. We got to the cup semi-final. The boys at Iwobi and Bassi were at AFCON, and we were just depleted. And it's so hard to get to the latter stages of competitions, as you guys are finding out. You had to play on Wednesday night, you then lost on Saturday. It's very hard for teams like Wolves and Fulham to get to the latter stages of competitions. It's fun as it is, and not have some sort of dip in form, because that's exactly what happened to us in January, the Carabao Cup.
Well, as well, if you're playing so often as well, that's where the little niggly injuries start to mount up. Maybe the odd suspension, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, and we had a 15-year-old on the bench against Newcastle. We were that depleted. Wow. We had a 15-year-old on the bench. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Wolves always struggle to break teams down. We struggled to beat Sheffield United. We have been good on the counter. We beat Tottenham. We beat Chelsea. When teams open up against us, we've had the weapons. But because we've got no Wang and no Kuna, and Pedro's a doubt, will we have the weapons to exploit if you sort of give you the ball? Well, we'll have to wait and see. Pelini's a good player. Do you think you'll hold on to him in the summer? Because wasn't he supposed to leave last summer and then it all went Pete Tong at the last minute?
Yeah, he was very nearly joined Bayern. I think it's 50-50 whether he stays. He signed a new contract, but that doesn't necessarily mean he'll stay. It might just mean we get more money for him.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of clubs for him to go to in without sounding deluded. Like, he's 29, bordering on 30. So he's not young anymore. So that kind of resale potential is maybe, you know, will probably put off some clubs. Yeah. I think Bayern will still be interested because they have cried out for a player like him. So I think there still will be some bids. It's just whether clubs have got the money, will want 60 million plus. How many clubs are prepared to spend 60 million plus on someone who's turning 30 soon?
Yeah.
I think either way for us, it's probably win-win. If we sell him, we'll get a good fee that we can reinvest. If we keep him, well, he's one of the best defensive midfielders in the league.
Yeah, because Wolves were really close to signing Pelina.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, we didn't. We all thought we were courting him for a couple of years, and then he's gone to Fulham, and he's been brilliant for Fulham. Just finally, just before we go, what's your prediction for the game? What's your gut telling you?
Do you know what? I'm actually feeling reasonably confident. I think if it was my head and I was, you know, I'd probably say a score draw, but I actually don't see what Fulham have got to lose here. I think that we've got the fitter, fresher squad. We're in form. I could see us nicking a 2-1. And I think, like, looking from the outside at some of Wolves' results this season, you know, I feel like you've performed really well against sides almost above you. And maybe some of the sides beneath you has been where it's been a greater challenge. I watched some of that Sheffield United game. I think Fulham will adapt and probably sit in a little bit in order to, you know, I think we will try and make your life hard. We won't just, we'll have seen the mistakes of Chelsea and Spurs. We're not going to go there and commit the same mistakes that they did. So we know how Wolves can play. And I would imagine we will set up accordingly in order to try and stifle, you know, your very effective weapons as best as we can. I don't know. Got a weird feeling that we might just nick it.
2-1. Well, I wouldn't expect you to say anything less. Finally, mate, thanks ever so much for coming on. How can people find yourself and, of course, Fulhamish? You know, you're on YouTube. We'll tag you, obviously, in this video, of course. But you've got a great podcast as well. And I guess you're on socials too.
Yeah. Check out the YouTube channel, because we're actually, last time I checked, like one subscriber off 6,000, which we'd really like to try. So maybe if one person could subscribe, that would be lovely. Yeah, check out the YouTube channel. We're trying to develop that a lot more at the moment, and putting more content. I'll be in Wolves on Saturday, and I'll do a post-match. We call it the quick take, straight after the game from Molyneux.
Yeah, we call it instant reaction.
Yeah.
Similar
thing. So we'll be at the game on Saturday giving our reaction. So if you thrash us 4-1 and you want to see some upset Fulham fans, go over to Fulhamish and we'll be on there.
Fantastic, mate. Listen, Sammy, an absolute pleasure. I hope to catch up with you at the game. That would be really cool. But I really appreciate you coming on. And obviously, I can't wish you all the best for the weekend, but you've had a good season. And like, obviously, I do wish you the best for the rest of the season. Fulham away is always it's always a good one. And so the cottage is a bit of an iconic ground, and you're definitely going to be in the Premier League next season. But there is one little myth, though, isn't it? Is it a fact that Norwich and Fulham are not allowed to play each other in league football?
We're back. Well, they've broken the cycle. We've both broken the cycle now. They seem to be pretty much always in the Championship, and we're now hopefully always in the Premier League.
So now you're staying up, they'll probably stay down again, because you never play each other. It's a strange thing, isn't it? But it's a fact.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure their record at Craven Cottage is an absolute stinker as well. I think they've lost their last about 15 to 20 at Craven Cottage as well. So I'm pretty sure they're quite happy about that, never having to come to Craven Cottage.
Absolutely. And there's one thing that's going to make Fulham fans smile, any of you guys from Fulham that watch this. I know you haven't won at Stamford Bridge. We hadn't beaten Chelsea at Stamford Bridge since 1976, and we did it this year. And we've now beaten Chelsea 3 times in a row. So it's your turn next.
Yeah, there's hope. There's hope. Thank you. I like that.
All the best, mate. Thanks for joining.
It's the 90th minute. all your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.